Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to everybody. Good afternoon, good night to everybody. This is Prophet Ward. I am here with you guys tonight on the show. I would like to thank you for tuning in for another show on tonight. And tonight we will be talking about the laws of the universe. Now, if you look at the show name and you would see SOTP, SOTP stands for the School of the Prophets. And so there's an Enoch School of the Prophets. If you go to my website, you'll be able to see a link there. And what I want to be able to do, in addition to putting blogs there and sermons and videos, I'm going to start a TV channel on the site where you will be able to see video and audio messages from the School of the Prophets. So that's something that's in the works, and that's something that that's going to happen that we want to have available for you. Also, I want to say happy holidays to everybody, and not just only happy holidays, but Merry Christmas. We're in a time where, you know, everyone is trying to take out, you know, Christ out of Christmas. They're trying to take Christ out of Christmas. So we just want to say Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Hope you can send somebody a card for Christmas. There's a lot of stuff that you can do. You can go in. Buy a family, someone that you know is having a hard time during the season. You can go out there and you can buy them a meal, deliver it to them there. Or you can go and just send someone a card. You know, there's so many things you can do. You can visit someone at the nursing home. I mean, it's so many things you can do. So there's a lot of things that you can do out there to share the Christmas spirit. But make sure that you send a card. If you have a parent, you know, send a card to your parents. Send a card to your mom, your dad. You know, I forget that sometimes. So, you know, when you're away from your parents, just send them a card or something, letting people know that you're at least just thinking about them. Good grief, you know. Let them know that you can remember them and that you're thinking about them. So do that. Remember your loved ones, brothers and sisters, aunt, uncles and cousins. Keep them up in prayer. And we're just, you know, just spread some Christmas cheer and worry about the haters. You know, people are going to continually try to deny Christ and take Christ out of everything. But we know that Christ is the beginning of all things, and all things subsist and consist of everything that was made. That is everything that is made and that was made by the Word. Who is the Word? The Word is Christ. So let's just get into tonight's topic. We want to talk about the laws of the universe. I'm talking about the laws of the universe. Now, why is this a powerful topic? Well, because as Christians, we worship a God who we claim and who we say is ruler of everything. We say that he is all powerful. We say that God is all knowing. We say that God is our strength. He is our maker. He is El Shaddai. We say that God is all of these things, but yet and still, we don't understand him. How can that be? We find ourselves doing a lot of things without understanding behind why we're doing them. And so, you know, we're in an age where everybody just wants to decree and declare everything, but we decree and we declare everything, but what is going on behind the scenes? So let's get into it. I want to talk about something that I call the T4 concept here. I call this the T4 concept. And we say, what is the T4 concept? Well, when we look at the universe, even as science, you have your doctors of physics, you have your astronomers, you have the people who study the stars, they study the skies, they study the motion of the planets, they study life at the biomolecular level. They study the atoms, quarks, protons, neutrons. They love science. They study, you know, the constituent parts that make up this universe and all the laws that comprise those constituent parts. Okay, so how does that affect us as Christians? Now, as in the school of the prophets, this is something that needs to be taught, because in the school of the prophets, you need to know and you need to have understanding on why something is happening. You remember when the prophet, when the axe head came up out of the water, in the New Testament, Jesus, he walked on water. You know, what is going on when these miracles and these signs and these wonders and these things are happening? We need understanding behind what we are decreeing and declaring. So what we have is a people who are decreeing and declaring, but you have no understanding behind what you're doing. So we're just going through the motions. But what I'm finding out is that in order to operate in a certain level or to operate at a certain authority, in a certain sphere of authority and a certain level of influence, or to operate at a level of power with God, you understand what is going on. And to understand means revelation. We know when you read your word, when you read your word, you grab your Bible and you begin to read your word, you should pray that the Holy Spirit illuminates that word. So you have illumination and then you have revelation. Illumination is God shedding light on the scripture so you can see what the writer intended when it was written, what the Holy Spirit wanted to convey through that writer when the scripture was written, so that you may be able to understand what was going on in that culture and in that day when that text was written. Now, what is revelation? Revelation is what God is saying now. So you could say it like this. Illumination, when you're reading a scripture, is what God said then. Revelation, when you read the scripture, okay, God, I see what you were saying then. I've looked at a biblical survey. I've looked at a Bible handbook. I know, you know, who wrote this book. I know who the author of it was. I know what went on, what the cultural backdrop of the book was. So I know what was going on in society at that time. And then I asked the Lord, you know, Father, show me what was it that you were trying to convey through this writer. Now that I understand that, now speak to me concerning what this scripture means to me right now. And that's the revelation. And so without an understanding of what is actually going on, you will find yourself being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, because everything that sounds good and that looks good, you perceive it as being good, and it's not so. Now, if you have your Bible, I want to go to the book of Genesis, and we're going to start in the book of Genesis, and we're going to find our way through the scriptures, and that's where we're going to start there. What I term, we're going to start with the T4 concept. What I call the T4 concept comprises of four words. And before I get there to the T4 concept, I want to lay a quick foundation for the school of the prophet. Prophets need to understand how the universe is comprised. We need to understand the different levels in the spiritual realm, the authority of the spiritual realm, and the laws of the spirit realm. We know that the world has a taste of the laws of the spirit realm when they tap the scientific vein, when they delve into, you know, astronomy and physics. And they begin to talk about subatomic particles and, you know, things that can be seen, things that cannot be seen. So when you start tapping into a level of the things that are not seen, we know that the book of Hebrews, we know that the Bible tells us that everything that is seen were made things that are not seen. So that the things that are seen were made by things which are not seen. We understand that. So when you begin to tap a level where you're talking about the things that are unseen, and you're talking about visible forces, and you talk about that level or vein, that aspect of creation or that aspect of existence, you're getting closer and closer to the spirit realm. And it's here. So this whole world and everything that is in it is nothing more than a thought in the mind of God. Now, and I want to go to Genesis because I'm going to show you some things, because in Christendom we have been taught the wrong thing. We have been told for so long that we create with our mouth. That's why a lot of us are running around here not living anything, but we're decreeing, declaring, legislating, prophesying, you know, I blabbing it and grabbing it, you know, and doing all of that, but you don't have a life, you don't have power, and you don't have understanding with your power, then it can kill you. Who in their right mind would give a car to a child who does not have a license? Who in their right mind would give the power of electricity to a child who is 5 years old? When you give a certain amount of power to someone who does not understand the weight of that power or does not understand that power in full scope, it opens up a door where it is able not only to kill the person whom is receiving it or the person who it was to, but it can kill the people that are in the environment around them. This is spiritual authority. This is the integrity of God. You cannot expect God to allow you to operate in a power or channel a power or to be the releaser of the power and authority of God in the earth realm if you yourself have no understanding of it. And without an understanding of the power, you're destined to abuse it. So you have to have an understanding of what's going on. And you have to have an understanding of God, understanding of eternity, an understanding of time, the understanding of the laws of correspondence, the laws of mentalism, the laws of genderism. You must understand how this world operates in full scope, because the children of the world are wiser. Why are they wiser? They're wiser because they use the information that they have. Go to the book of Genesis. I'm going to try to teach this, and I just want to open up something to you, because now, we've been in Christendom, we've been told to decree and to declare everything, and that we create by decreeing and declaring. We've been told we create by decreeing and by declaring. So now I want you to go to the book of Genesis, because I'm going to challenge that thought process, because we've been told to decree, to declare, legislate, prophesy, do all of that, and then just sit back and watch. But let me help you out. A lot of us are decreeing and declaring, but things that you've decreed and declared years ago still have not happened yet. Why haven't they happened? When the Bible says that Jesus healed, when the centurion came to Jesus, the centurion received the miracle from Jesus in the self-same hour. In the self-same hour. It was not 3 days later. It was not 2 days later. It was not a month later. It was not a year later. It was in the same hour that he received his miracle. And we're gonna get into what the scriptures really says. Now, Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says that the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Now, let's go in here and read this carefully. And we're going to dissect this a little bit. I want you to listen in. If you have a question or anything, I want you to call in. I want you to let us know. I want you to call in with your question, because someone else is, I guarantee you, someone else probably has a question. But what I want you to see here in the scripture is, how do you create things? How is man supposed to create things? How are you supposed to create? We've been taught that we create with our mouth. But how did God create? Now, when you go to the book of Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says, in the beginning, God created. What does that mean? What is the only way that you can create something from nothing? Now, we know that the Bible says the things that are seen were made by things which are not seen. So you cannot create something from something that you can see. You cannot create something from anything that you can see. You cannot take anything in this earth realm and take it to use it to create something else, because something that you can see. You can only create from that which you cannot see. And I'm here to tell you the only way that you can create something from nothing is through your mental pattern. It's through your thought pattern. And so it's through your thinking. So when you think about something and you create something and you have a vision for something, that is the only way that you can create anything. It's through your thought process. It's through your mind. And so in Genesis here, when you go to Genesis and the scripture says that, look, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. How did God create the earth? He created the heavens and the earth in a thought. He thought about it, and everything that is just was. Everything that is just was. He thought about it. Everything that is just was. God just is. God is not progressive. God is eternal. He is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. God is so powerful. He just is. God is not law. He himself defines law. So we understand here and looking at Genesis that, look, God created everything that is through a thought. This is now why we can go to the scriptures and understand some of the writings of Paul. When you go through the scriptures and it says that as a man thinketh, so is he. Why is that? Because creation starts in the mind. The only way you can create something from nothing is through your thought process. That is where the creative process starts. So if we are made in the image of God, we are supposed to use our minds to create, use minds for vision, use our minds to think and to create new things. Now, what is the basis for these new things that we are creating or that we are seeing in our minds? We have to be renewed in the inner, in our inner spirit, in our recreated inner man. We are to be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind. And how are we transformed by the renewing of our mind? We are transformed by the renewing of our mind, washing our spirit and wash ourselves with the water of the word. We know in the Old Testament when the priest used to come into the outer court that they had the Levitical priest, because they had to take care of the sacrifices, cut it up, and do all the things of the temple, the menial things of the temple, that they washed their hands in the laver, in the brazen laver. Well, when you look down in that brazen laver, it was polished, and it was filled with water. Well, when you look down in that brazen laver to wash hands, water being a symbol of the word of God, you were always looking at your reflection under and through the water because the brass was polished. What does that mean? Every time you open up this Bible, it should be your goal to wash yourself. Every time you open up this Bible, you should see your reflection in it. Every time you open up this Bible, your intention and your purpose should be to wash yourself. And your intention and your purpose should be not only to wash yourself, but to see yourself in the Bible. And so when we look in Genesis tonight, we will be able to see God. The image of God is the ability to create with our minds. And we have been duped and deceived and told that we create with our mouths. And I'm going to answer you, we don't create with our mouths. We recreate with our mouths. We recreate with our mouths. And I'm going to introduce to you right now the T4 concept. And I'm bringing you anything new. I'm actually bringing you some ancient doctrine here, but this is really nothing new. But I need you to understand one word. The first word that we're going to go to and talk about is going to be transformation. So T4 is going to be four words. It's going to be transformation. It's going to be the first word. The second one, the second process that I want you to take hold of is called transduction. Transduction, to transduce something. The third word is transmutation or transmutation. Transmute something, not transmute, but transmutation. Transmute something. And then the last word would be transfigure, the process of transfiguration. And this is what we want to talk about, because now that we understand that, look, God created with his thoughts, God created in his mind. When he thought about it, it was real. The real reality is real in your mind. The scripture says, as a man thinketh, so is he. That means your physical state and your physical state of being, process, your environment, how you are, what manifests in your body is all connected to your thought process, to your mind. That means it is up to you to get the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible talks about in Philippians chapter 2. This is why we need to get the word of God and the mind of God in us so we can begin to think like God, because it's only when you begin to think like God that you change the world around you, because you automatically create that which you think and you change day to day. You are dying daily as you read the word of God, as you study the word of God, meditate on the word of God, and you grow with the revelation from the word of God. That fourfold process, transformation, transduction, transmutation, and transfiguration. What is process? What God has done is he has taken all of the rules of the universe and he has hidden them in his commandments. He has hidden the rules and the laws of the universe in his commandments so that all you have to do is obey him and obey his commandments, and you will be operating in accordance not just with this word, but you'll be operating in accordance with the laws of the universe. Why are the laws of the universe, so important to learn? because the laws of the universe and understanding them helps you to operate in wisdom, to operate in power, and it helps you to apply the word of God. How many of you out there know that there's a difference between knowing something and then not knowing something? When I was taking Spanish, there was two words. You know, we had to take verbs and we had to conjugate the verbs, but there were two verbs or two words that meant to know. One of them was pronounced conocer, and the other one was saber. Conocer was C-O-N-O-C-E-R, and you pronounce it conocer, and you have to conjugate in the different tenses. And then the other word was saber, S-A-B-E-R, and we use it like sabes que, you know, do you know, or did you know that, you know, it's to know a fact. So the verb saber is the verb that is used to denote when you use it to ask someone, you know, if they know something with respect to a piece of information, a fact. Do you know this, do you know that? It's used with information. Do you know a fact? Do you know a data, facts, you know, information? And I'm repeating that. But the word conocer was used, and it was translated to know intimately. So you can know something, saber, you can know something as just a piece of information or a fact. Or you can conocer, or you can know it when it is actually in your heart and you are applying it every day. It is so tied to your heart. It is so weaved into your essence and your being that it becomes a part of you and it becomes a part of your everyday process. Then you know it. And so this is why this is good, because a lot of us are quoting and decreeing and declaring a whole lot of things. And but we don't understand the word behind it. And the reason we need to understand it, and especially as a prophet or an apostle, because you need to have understanding behind what you're saying. And having the understanding behind, you can decree and declare all day long. If I decree and declare a healing on someone, and then in my mind I have a picture of how that healing is going to take place because I understand the process behind the scenes or what's taking place in the spirit realm, that increases my faith and that gives me a knowing. So now I'm not just always releasing faith. There's a level of faith where you lead from, oh, I believe God, or oh, I think I believe God, to know I know he's going to do it and I know he's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I know God's going to do it and I know it's going to happen. And so since we create with our minds, when you say with your mouth, Paul said, I believe, therefore I speak. An ancient philosopher said, I think, therefore I am. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So we understand that when we change our thinking, we create in the manifested physical realm that which we are thinking. And our mouths is the medium. Our mouths is the medium and the mechanism by which we iterate, by which we translate what we are thinking, what we are seeing into words, and we release it to the physical realm. It's just like a computer. A computer can do a whole lot of things, but it can't do anything until you give it the instructions. This universe is full of power, it's full of matter, it's full of elements, minerals, it's full of everything, but it can do nothing for you until you give it the instructions by which to do it. In the book of Genesis, we see God created everything perfectly. God is perfect, and he created everything perfect. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But verse 2 says that the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Now, this is a place where, some believe that and I'm of that class, I believe that this is an area, verse 2 of Genesis comprises a period of time that is known as the gap theory. The gap theory says that between Genesis 1 and verse 1 and Genesis verse 3, that you have a period of time. Some say it was billions of years, some say millions, some say this, that, or whatever. At the end of the day, the main thing to know is that during this period of time is when some believe was the fall of Satan. Because God makes everything perfect in Genesis chapter 1, and then you go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, everything is made perfect. But verse 2, everything is formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. So this is where some believe, and I'm of that class, that this was the fall of Satan. Christ said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. What is as lightning? It's God thought of it. As soon as I could think about it, he passed out of the heights. Your thoughts, if you could measure the speed of your thought, I'm sure it would even be faster than lightning. But this passage of scripture is where some believe that Satan fell from the heavens and he fell into the earth. And when the imperfection fell into the earth realm, that it sent all of the perfect creation that God had, that it sent that creation into derision. And so in verse 2, you see here, in verse 1, that God made everything, and he made it perfect. But in verse 2, everything was formless and void. God does not create mess. God does not create chaos. God is not the author of confusion. So this is where it is believed, in conjunction with Revelation chapter 12, where it says that that dragon took a third of the stars of heaven in his tail who fell with him. This is where we believe Satan was cast from the heights, from the heavens down into the earth. And when he came into the earth realm, that he sent everything into a state of chaos and sent earth into derision. Now, this is where we get to verse 3. Then God said, see, this is where we get to. Then God said. So in Christianity, we've been told to create with your mouth. No, you create with your thoughts. You create with your thinking, with your mind. Paul said what? Casting down imaginations. There we go, images. And every what? High thing that what? Exalts itself above the what? Knowledge. So there you have imaginations, high things, things that exalt themselves, and then you have knowledge. Paul is connecting that, look, warfare goes on in the mind, because that's what Satan wants, because that is what can create. And that's what he don't want. That's what he does not want everyone else to realize and understand. So going back to Genesis 1, verse 3, it says, then God said, let there be light. What God was doing was recreating. He already created everything with a thought. The Bible tells us that in Christ, we live, we move, and we have our being. Why? Because everything you see in this universe is nothing but a single thought of God. God thought about it, and it was. And Satan was cast down. He sent it into derision. Then God said, okay, God, what we see in Genesis 3, let there be light. God is reorganizing his earth and putting everything back in order. And when he finishes putting everything in order, he makes the crowning point of his reorganization of the earth, mankind. And then he places man here, and he gives man a blessing. He places man here, and he gives man a blessing, and we are placed here as lords over the earth. Why were we placed here? To prevent the earth from going into a state of chaos and derision that it went into when Satan was cast down. So we see that we create with our thoughts. Why is this powerful? Because everything is vying for our thought process, our mind, through advertisement, through TV, through music. This is why all of the demonic activity that goes on, it is tied to something that grabs a hold of your mind. And as prophets, this is something that needs to be known and emphasized, because if it is not taught, and if it is not known that the warfare begins in your mind, that creation begins in your mind, then you have lost 75% of the battle from the get. Now that we know creation begins in the mind, because we know Proverbs 18, verse 21 tells us that the power of life and death is in the tongue. Now, the Bible does tell us we kill with our tongue. What is he talking about? Because we kill with our tongue, but what did Christ say? Now, I want you to get this. Yes, the Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue, and the Bible tells us that we kill with our words, but how can we kill with our words? Let's go back to what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you even think about it, you've already done it. How can you think about, if you even think about having adulterous relations with a woman without committing it, you have already committed adultery if you've thought about it. How is that? Because you created it, you thought about it in your mind. That's where the real reality is. It's controlling your thoughts. By the time it comes out of your mouth, you are spewing out instructions from the spirit realm into the earth realm to bring something to pass. Now, let me give you some insight on what happens when you prophesy. What happens when you prophesy? People say, oh, we prophesy, we preach, we declare, we decree, we legislate. You know, we're just decreeing all of this and all of that. Well, do you know what happens when you prophesy? The Bible says, let's go to Isaiah chapter 55 if you have your scriptures, because I want you to see something in Isaiah 55 here, because when you go there, I don't know if you can hear these pages turning, but when you go there, I'm going to Isaiah 55, chapter 11. Now, this is what the scripture says. God says, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth, and not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God said, none of God's words is going to hit the ground. So likewise with his children, we are heirs. We are co-heirs or joint heirs with Christ. Now are we the sons of God, according to the scripture. So like father, like son, when we decree and declare, we should have the belief and we should have the faith to believe that our words are not going to hit the ground. None of our words are going to fall to the ground. They will go out and accomplish the work whereto they were sent to do. How do they do it? If you think, that's why the Bible says vision. Write the vision down and make it plain so that they that read it, they that see it can read and run. What does that mean? What does that mean? Your vision, when you see the vision, God gave me a vision for ministry, he gave me a vision for business, you know, God gave me a vision to do this and to view that, okay, you got the vision, but after the vision, what do you have to do? You have to write it down. Why are you writing it down? Because you are writing down the instructions to follow. So what happens when you see vision, or when you see healing, or when you see something that needs to come to pass, your mouth, what you do when you prophesy, you give the physical universe the instructions by which to go out and collect all the resources in creation and to bring everything that is needed to bring that word to pass, or to create that institution or organization, or to do what it is that you have prophesied out of your mouth, because all creation recognizes the authority of God. Every atom, every proton, every quark, every vibrating string in the universe knows the authority of God. And a caller, and I'm going to take them. You are on air. How you doing? You are on air? Yes, you are on air. What's your name?
How are you, sir?
Oh, what's going on? This is Private Gray. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
It sure is. And again, I'm sorry. I called in because on your site, I can't hear you. I have guests, but I didn't want to miss this show. I knew it was going to be powerful. So I'm double dipping here. I can hear you on the call, but I can't hear you on your site. That's why I called in. But I apologize for being in late, but again, I have guests. I just want to listen in if that's okay, and I just want to glean from this powerful revelation that you were sharing with me last night.
Can you hear me now? Is this coming in clear?
Yeah, over the phone, it's loud and clear, but I just can't hear you on your site, your Blog Talk site. So maybe there's some issues that Blog Talk is having. But again, I didn't want to interrupt your message. It is a powerful message, the things that you were sharing with me on last night. I knew you'd be going in greater depth on today. So I just want to listen in if that's okay.
Are you hearing me now? Am I louder now?
Yes. But again, I can't hear you on the Blog Talk site, but I can hear you when I call in. There could be some problems. I've experienced that problem before.
Okay. All right, as you call in, because I hope, man, I really hope that's not the problem, because then I'm going to have to do the show over again. That happened with the other one. That happened with the program about our Africans and other ethnicities biologically and physiologically inferior to whites. And on that show, you could hardly hear me. I had to do it part two. Oh, man.
Sure.
Okay, well, I'm going to finish this. I'm going to finish this, but I hope this will be able to play, because I hope they can hear me. If someone else is out there, too, I want them to call in. If you cannot hear me or you're on Facebook, please send me a note and send me some information and let me know, because if that's the case, it might be my microphone here. So
you might also want to check your chat room, because I did send you a text to let you know. So, again, if you want to mute me out, brother, I just want to glean off the powerful revelation that God has given you. regarding the things that we talked about last night and the subject that you're on right now. So, hello, man of God, hello.
Okay, all right, thank you. All right, so I'm going to continue on here. I hope you guys can hear me. If someone's out there, please put a text out there and let me know if you can hear me. Okay. But I'm going to continue on here, you guys. I'm going to continue on and know that this might be a part two. Because this might be a part two. But let me continue on here in Isaiah 55. I'm talking about what happens when you decree and declare and you speak. Now that we know that your thoughts are where the creation goes, and how do you get God thoughts and God creations? You think like God by being inundated with God's word. And so what happens when you begin to think like God, you begin to dream. That places us with Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer. You begin to dream, dream, dream. Dreams are a good thing because it shows an active imagination and an active mind. And we are at our highest state or state with God when we can dream. And so it is that when you dream and when you think, yes, having a business plan and writing it down. People write down business plans with meticulous detail so they can have instructions by which to follow to bring that which they saw in their dreams to pass. Well, when you decree and declare and prophesy, what you are doing, you are taking the authority of God, because what is Jesus but the sound of God? You're taking the authority of God and you're releasing it into the earth realm by way of instructions. And what that word does, it goes to and fro in the earth, and it goes out to seek out, to find what it is that you specified for it to do. It goes out, and that prophecy brings all the resources and everything together, that in the process of time and in due season, it will come together to create that which you have prophesied. Your words give the physical universe the instructions by which to follow, that it follows to make, to form, and to recreate. So what we are doing when we are prophesying, we are not creating, because the Bible is clear that there is nothing new under the sun. And if there really is nothing new under the sun, and I'm adding that if there's nothing new under the sun, then everything that is has already been done. So if there is nothing new under the sun, and I added that, it rhymes right, that everything that is has already been done, and there's nothing new under the sun, and we know the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun, that means God had his first thought. Everything in the universe was already created. It just took us, because we are locked in time, it took time for us to unfold it, because God is not progressive. God just is, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. This we know. So we are not really creating anything. You are recreating every time you open your mouth, because everything that's here was here already. We were all in the mind of God. Someone asks you and say, how old are you? And you'll say, oh, I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm whatever. No, how old are you really? You are as old as God's first thought, if God could have his first thought, because God is not progressive. God doesn't think in linear terms. God just is. The Bible tells us that God knows the beginning and the end of a thing. God knows the beginning and the end in the same thought process. So when you prophesy and you decree and declare, you are recreating, you are sending out instructions. And we went to Isaiah 55 and 11 to show you that. Now I want to zoom in on I want to get to the meat of this message, and I'm just going to mention some things, because this is going to have to be a couple of sessions, and I want to tap into some things, because I said I was talking about the laws of the universe, and in talking about the laws of the universe, I want to give you some principles that govern the laws of the universe. The first principle is the principle of mentalism, the law of mentalism. Everything in existence is thought. Everything is thought. The battlefield is the battlefield of the mind. Everything deals with, you create with your thought, you do battle with your thought, you fight in your thoughts. That is where the warfare is done. That's where the victory is gained. That's where the power is. And if you can control your thought process, you can control your spirit. You are a self-disciplined person if you can control your thought process, because the Bible tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of their ways. If you can control how you think and focus your thinking, then you can focus everything else that is happening in your life. That is a true source of power. But the law of mentalism, and we'll break some of these down, but the first one is the law of mentalism, that everything is thought, that everything in existence, everything in creation is governed by thought. You change the way you think about something, you change the manifestation that you get. As a man thinketh, so is he. Let's verse that. Then as you think about a situation, so is that situation. As you think about your health, so is your health. And you have to reverse the scriptures to get the total understanding of it. The second law will be the principle of correspondence. Christ let us know this. Christ says in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. Christ let us know he's from above, not from beneath. Everything that is bound in heaven shall be bound in the earth. If it's loosed in the heavens, it shall be loosed in the earth. The law of correspondence. How do you use the law of correspondence? The law of correspondence gives us access to the invisible realm, or access to the spiritual realm by way of revelation, because if we understand laws of the lower nature, of the laws of the physical realm, by seeing the laws of the physical realm and understanding these laws, we can then reverse them and get and gain intricate knowledge on how the higher laws operate, or what goes on in the heavenlies, because the things that go on in the natural are just a microcosm of the things that are going on in the spirit. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Moses was given instructions from heaven on how to recreate the temple here in the earth realm, so they dwell in it, and so they can come close, and that they can come near to God. Number three, the principle of vibration. Scientists have studied and have let us know something called string theory, that everything in creation, at the lowest forms of creation, because, you know, you have particles that are in creation, and most of us know of the atom, the proton, the neutron, the electron, and all of that. But you have part of existence that is not particulate. It's not particulate, that's why it's called a vibration. It's not a particle. It's not a finite point. Anything that's a particle is a finite point. But because this is not finite, it is not at one point or one specific place in time. It is vibrating in and out of time. They call it a wave. They call it a vibration. They call it a string. And so they believe that everything in creation is hanging, or is comprised of these vibrating strings. And these strings are grouped in packets called quanta. That's where you get quantum theory from. So these groups, or these packets called quanta, these packets of quanta that make up the universe. So that is the energy. Let's go to number four, the principle of polarity. The principle of polarity, or the law of polarity. This is a law that you use at work. Christ manifested this. He said, you need to love those that despitefully used you. What good is it if you love those that love you? You need to love your enemies also. How do we see these laws coming into action? Because, for example, if you walk into your workplace and you go into your workplace and everybody got a nasty attitude and everybody's acting mean, you institute the law of polarity to change the atmosphere. Because they are acting mean and nasty and ill-willed, you begin to act nice and lovely and godlike to everybody, and you instantaneously change that atmosphere by instituting and understanding a law. It's understanding the spiritual law. And this again shows how God incorporated these spiritual laws into his commandments, that if we obey his commandments, then we will be in line with his word and his will and the laws of the universe. Therefore, everything will be subject to us, walking in the true authority of God. The principle of the law of rhythm, the principle of the law of rhythm, timing, seasons. We see this in creation. God lets us know that the stars are in the sky for the times, to tell the times and the signs, excuse me, and the seasons. Signs, seasons, the pull of rhythm. Everything, to everything but a time, and there is a season. And it is having a discerning spirit, having the Holy Spirit, and knowing, understanding the times. The Bible says the sons of Issachar, they knew the times. It's discerning and understanding that to everything is a time and a season. And if you know that time and if you know that season, you use it to your advantage because it is wisdom to apply the laws of God combined with the word of God. And it gives you the upper hand in any situation. Not, the next law would be the law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect. This is the law of cause and effect. The Bible says it's how. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What they don't tell a lot of us is all that hell that you raised when you was in the world, when you get saved for a season, you're going to have to walk those same seeds that you sown. You're going to have to walk back through those same seeds, but this time respond the correct way and the right way so that you can cancel the results of your evil works that you did when you was in the world. This is why Paul said, I don't know that man, because Paul was walking circumspectly, and when his name was changed from Saul to Paul, which it really was not changed, his father was Roman, and so in the Jewish, they called him Saul. In the Roman world, they called him Paul, but, you know, we say he had this big spiritual experience, and he was, his name was changed. But Saul, Paul, whoever you want to say, he could say that he didn't know that man who had did those things because he was a new person. If any man be in Christ, behold, he is a new creature. All things are made new. And the last one is the law of gender. The law of gender. How do we see this in the Bible? There is neither male nor female in Christ. Gender is something that is a manifestation in the physical realm for the purposes of procreation. The male and female. Angels are not given in marriage, nor do they marry in heaven. There will be no need for marriage in heaven or procreation. We will all be in heaven, but genderization and manifestation of genderization is for the physical realm, and it is for procreation. Now, when you talk about healing, and see, it's taking all this stuff and putting it together. You know, we tell people need to be healed. People need to see change in their life, and I'm going to talk about transformation. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation is changing something from one state to another without changing the properties that make it what it is. I'm going to use these science properties, chemical properties, and physical properties. Transformation is changing from one shape or form to another, from one state to another, without changing those properties that makes it what it is. You are still a child of God. You are still a son of God, but your mind needs to be transformed and renewed so that you can prove what is the perfect and acceptable will of God. Transformation is a process that takes place when you get into the word of God and when you understand His will is for your life and that it's more than just you having a ministry, you getting a job, you being rich, you being wealthy. It is tapping into the integrity of God so that He can trust you enough to allow you to operate in miracle signs and wonders. To be transformed, to have your mind transformed. Your mind is still your mind. Your brain is still your brain, but a transformation has taken place that has not changed the chemical or physical properties or makeup of your brain. Transformation. Another picture of transformation is having a gold nugget being transformed into a wedding ring. It is still gold. It still has the same properties of gold, but now it's changed its form. Therefore, it's changed its, get this, its use. No longer do you yield your members to serve Satan when you have been transformed. Now, the next one I want to go to from the next part about, or this next I want to talk about is transduction. And transduction, transduce. Now, when you talk about when you get into electricity, when you transduce something or a transducer changes something from one form of energy to another. Now, why is this something that you need to understand? Because you need to understand that when we decree and prophesy, when we talk about healing, when you begin to operate in miracles, what is taking place? There is a transduction that is taking place. There is an energy, a change that is taking place. When you decree and say you are healed, when I say I am healed and I start to prophesy with my mind, because as I think, so am I. So I need to think about healing. I need to think about healing to manifest healing. So when you negative, when you are always feeling negative and you always have negative energy in you and around you and ill will and you're hateful and you're bitter, all that negative energy works in your physical body and your nervous system transduces that negative energy into physical manifestations that manifest in mankind's sickness. So we know that sickness can be manifested through, we understand demons, and that's another message. We understand demons and we understand natural and physical causes, but we also understand that a lot of these natural and physical causes is coming because of transduction. All your bitterness, all your lying, your stealing, all that time you've been doing people wrong and you've been hoeing around and been cheating, all that stuff, all that negative energy, that stuff works against you and your nervous system. Your own spirit transfers that energy because it has to get out of your spirit before it kills you, and it puts it in your physical body, and it manifests in the form of sickness and disease, and it ages your body before it needs to. We talked about transformation. The second one was transduction. Now, this third one, I want and you to know about is transmutation. Now, transduction is something that you need to keep understand the process. That's what goes on. People that need healing, that's what you're doing. You're getting them scriptures to change how they're thinking about their healing so they can change the manifestation in their body. And that gives them the faith to know that this is going to work if they are steadfast and immovable. And that gives you the power to know what goes on when you prophesy out of the authority of God. When you prophesy out of the authority of God, that you get a mental picture of what's going on behind the scenes, it gives you faith to know that this thing is going to happen. Now to the third one, which was transmutation. Transmutation is changing something from one state to another where you have changed the chemical and the physical property. So if I had a nugget of gold and I wanted to transmute it, to transmute gold into another substance, for instance, transmutation is like taking gold and turning it into silver. Now, what does that have to do with us as Christians? What does that have to do with us in the school of the prophet or apostles? What does it have to do with miracle workings? There are some processes that go on behind the scenes when we do miracles. When you prophesy to someone and you say that this is what God is calling you to, or God has called you to do this, or this is what I see in the spirit realm, or God, there is a I decree and declare healing on your life right now. You are sending a word in, because we are in time, but the word of God is not in time. It's in and out of time. And so when you're prophesying, what that word of God is doing, it can be going back in time to the source of that sickness and killing it so that it manifests in the future as no disease at all. Some people, it's a process for their healing because of the level of their faith. But when you talk about transmutation, literally changing something to another something, this is when we see people grow legs, grow arms, grow eyes. We see transmutation in operation when you see people just out of nothing just grow a liver, or out of nothing grow a leg, or what is called the creative miracles. You see things like when Jesus turned the water into wine, transmutation. He changed the chemical properties of that water and the physical properties of that water, and it literally turned into another substance, which turned into wine, which gave credence that God, that he had power and authority over everything in creation, all the way down to the atomic and subatomic and nuclear and quantum levels. This is the power of God we're talking about. And the last T in this T4 process was transfiguration. Christ was transfigured. And when he was transfigured, he phased in and out. He just instantaneously phased into his resurrection body. If you understand the process of sanctification, you know it's a threefold process that they teach you in school, and you have positional sanctification when the saint comes to God. And when the saint comes to God, they are sanctified positionally. You are sanctified through God and with God positionally. But then the second stage of sanctification is progressive sanctification, where we are continually and every day we are being made and conformed into the likeness of Christ and made into the image of God. But the last stage of sanctification is called complete sanctification. Now, complete sanctification is when you receive your resurrection body. But this is what Christ did in the transfiguration, which tells us that there is a place that you can walk with God in this earth realm. And as the Bible said of Enoch, who was the seventh from Adam, that Enoch walked with God and he was not, because God took him. There is a transfiguration that you can do right down here in the earth realm. There is a whole other level of spirituality, of mysticism, that belongs to the Christian church, because it was with us from the get-go. We had the miracles. We had the signs. We had the manifestations. And the people at us, the heathens looked at us, and they wanted to be like us, but they were scared of our God. And it was seeing these powers and these miracle signs and wonders manifested that caused them to want to submit to the God that we had. This is the power that we are talking about. And as prophets and apostles, it's good for you. You need to delve into understanding the universe in which you live so you can begin to break things down. As a prophet, you can't just operate in something and not be able to explain it to those who you are mentoring, to those who you are discipling, because it's up to the prophet and the apostles, which are called the doctors of the law, because it's upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles that this church is being built. Christ being the chief cornerstone. We know the chief cornerstone is the first stone that is laid in the building of a building, and no other stone can be laid down until that cornerstone has been placed. And after Christ has been placed, it's the apostles and the prophets who are laying the foundation, and the church is being built on that foundation. Understanding the laws of the universe, understanding what's going on. It would not hurt you to read a scientific journal every now and then. Science does not go against God. Science works with God. Science comes from a Greek word meaning knowledge. The sciences, the knowledges. It just means knowledge. That's why we got con science or conscious. Con science, conscious, with knowledge. When you're conscious, you are here. You're a sentient being. You know that you are here. Now, so what I want to do now is just talk a little bit. I want to actually recap, because we talked about Genesis. Know that you look, you do not create with your mouth. You recreate with your mouth. You send out instructions in the earth realm with the words of your mouth, with your declaration, and mind your declaration with word of God, so you can give specific, meticulous instructions to the earth realm on what needs to come to pass. You cannot give meticulous and specific instructions if you are not controlling how you are thinking, if you are not controlling your thought processes. And controlling your thought processes, how? By thinking God thoughts, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is pure, praiseworthy. You know, think on these things. The scriptures tells you what to think on, and get scriptures in your spirit. If you would turn to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, and we're going to be through, because I just wanted to put this out here. I'm going to have to go to emphasize on each law so we can talk about a couple of them. But these are things that are good to be taught, especially for prophets to understand, because, see, it's time for us to not just be people just, you know, preaching and praying and laying hands and just looking crazy. You need to know what you're talking about. You need to be a sage. You need to be a wisdom seeker. You need to be the one people come to for knowledge and innovation. You need to have the look of wisdom on you. You need to be a few words, but when people come to you, they know that what you have to say holds weight when you do open your mouth. You need to have the knowledge and the wisdom of God, and not only that, but the power of God. And God can only allow you to operate in a power that you understand. So the more understanding you get in understanding what goes on in the world around you, it's literally saying it's the more power that God can trust you with. And why is that important? That is important because everything in this world is nothing but thought. If this whole universe is a thought, then the different levels of existence are nothing but thoughts. So change the way you think and you change the level that you operate on. If you change the level that you operate on, you change the scale by which you operate. So what is spiritual authority? When you change the level of thinking, you change the level of authority of the level of laws that you are operating on. When you do that, you are only subject to the levels higher than you, or you are only subject to the law higher than you. And as you move up, every level that is below you is subject to you. This is why every demon is subject to us, because they are below us. Why? Because we, oh Lord have mercy, we have been seated in what? In heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above all principalities, all powers. That's where we are. We are seated in heavenly places with him. Where is Christ seated? He is seated on the right hand of God. Christ is seated on the right hand of God. And see, and that lets us know we are on a different level, and the levels that are below you are subject to you. And I want to thank you for listening in on tonight. I want to thank you. I know I tried to talk and keep it going, so I can really put it out. The show is going to end in a few seconds, but I'm going to continue with this teaching. It's going to record, and it might be an hour and 30 like the last session was, because these are beginning to be important, and people are letting me know that they are appreciating the teaching, and I just want to continue on. It won't be live on air. It's going to stop at an hour, but when they play back, if you continue to listen on, you'll still be able to hear it. And when it plays back, once it's totally recorded, it'll play the whole session. Thank you for listening in. Stop by PCJGMinistries.com. And if you're in the Louisville area, next year in 2011, PCJG Ministries and Word of Life Church Kentucky will be at U of L giving Bible study out there, and I would love to see you there. I want you to be blessed. Go to the website, send us a shout out, and invite someone else. Until then, continue to live your life on purpose, live your life strategic, and continue to be strategically prophetic in everything that you do. This has been Calvin Ward and the Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast. Be blessed. Now, the book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 8. The book of Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 8, I'm going to go down and I'm going to start at verse 8. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to all, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success." Now, the other day, the Lord had let me know something. I'm thinking major, you know, ministries, and I'm thinking about these big ministries with big churches and, you know, and all that they have. And he began to let me know. He said, they're not operating in the integrity of God. Now, I'm sitting here, you know, these men are good, well-known preachers, probably out of debt, paid for, you know, kids, everything's good, everything's right. And he said, no, people are not operating in the integrity of God. He said, you are not operating in the integrity of God. And I'm like, well, what is going on? And the Lord began to let me know that the body of Christ continues to ask God to operate in all this power when we've already made up in our minds that we're not going to do that which is necessary to be able to receive that power from God. And so it's hypocritical. And we continue to ask God for that. And God says, you don't understand. I can only give you the level of power according to the level of integrity in your spirit. So what that allowed me to do was look at everybody that's preaching and teaching that is not operating in continuous signs and miracles and wonders, and say, you know what, that's not it. There is another level to God. There is another existence or another level to God. And what we have to do as prophets and apostles, it is your job to keep the body of Christ pressing forward, pressing forward, pressing forward, for the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus, for the mark of the prophet high calling, which is Christ Jesus, to keep people pressing forward. And it's hard sometimes because as a prophet, you know, or as an apostle, you know that you have some flaws, but your job and your office is to push people, to encourage people, and to help people maximize their potential in God and realize their gifts and their giftings. And doing that and knowing that as soon as you mess up, they're going to judge you on a whole other level, because the Bible says not many of you should be teachers, knowing this first, that there's a greater judgment for those who do so. It can be overwhelming sometimes. And so it becomes your place to have everything lined up so you can be apt to teach and to preach and to encourage the people of God. And as prophets, we have all these schools of the prophets. We need teaching in these schools. Most of these schools of the prophets are just getting people together. We're going to read some scriptures. We're going to pray, and we're going to act spiritual and have you, you know, try to prophesy like you're Nostradamus. And look, the human spirit, every human spirit, God gave dominion to mankind, not just to them that are saved. So every human spirit has the ability to tap that realm. And if you continue to practice for a period of time, you're going to be on it once or twice. That's something that they don't tell people either. You can continue to practice and practice and practice. You're going to be on it, and you're going to learn the art of reading people. You have to separate the art of reading people, the art of reading people's faces and reading their expressions and reading their mannerisms and being humanistic in the way we analyze people, being psychoanalytical. We have to take all of that out of the prophetic. That's why, you know, I don't even speak unless God gives me a word, then I'll come and speak to you, and I'll pull you to the side. But I'm not trying to prophesy. I'm not trying to give you a word, because I only speak when spoken to. And too many prophets are always out there trying to prophesy to show how big and how bad you are. But if you're really doing what you need to be doing and you have the presence of God in your life and that gifting on your life, then people should be seeking out the word of God. They should be seeking you out. They know what the word of God is, and they know that your lips of clay holds the oracles of God, and that is what the prophet of God can be found, and the word of the Lord can be found. And you need to become known for having the word of the Lord. Separate yourselves from these untoward prophets that are out here in this day and this age. God is raising up another breed of prophets, people who have came from the backwoods, people who are coming from behind the scenes, and God has trained them, and some of them don't even want to come out. But God says, oh, well, too late, because once God calls you, ain't nothing you can do about it. Once he tells you that this is what you are doing, and once you've been imparted, and once that anointing has been activated, there is nothing that you can do about it. We are called to be different in this day. We have witches and warlocks as prophets and apostles that we have to deal with. And these guys know more about the spirit realm in this case than most of your Christian prophets and your Christian apostles. They know more about the spirit realm, and they know more about what's going on in the world than we do. That goes on more than some of us do. Just like with the wise men during Christmas time. When you listen to the Christmas story, and most historians say that Christ was probably born somewhere around between 3 and 10, September the 3rd and September the 10th of 3 BC. But when you talk about the constellations, most people call that witchcraft and divinations. No, God may put those stars in the sky, and God put the gospel in the sky. And at that time, you had a formation of two planets in the constellation of, or in the star formation of Cancer, and then you had another planet rise up in Leo. Well, do you know that Cancer, at that time, they believed Cancer to be the end of the zodiac, so anything happening in that house or the house of Cancer represented the end of a thing, and in the Leo was the beginning of the constellation, so anything happening in the house of Leo represented the birth of something, and not the constellation of Leo was usually attributed to anything happening in that constellation was usually attributed to the birth of royalty, the birth of a king, the birth of a queen, the birth of someone of a high rank. And this happened around the same time that Christ was born. This is how these quote-unquote wise men knew about that. Now, the wise men that the Bible speaks about were part of a bicameral house, much like our Congress and our senators in the empire. And I'm going to tell you the way they knew that. What happened was, at the time of Daniel, that Daniel prophesied, you had a gentleman named Zoroaster. Zoroaster, or Zoroastrianism, is a religion where a lot of people say, oh, that's where Christianity gets a lot of its concepts of good and evil and demons and the whole struggle between good and evil from. Well, that's the wrong answer. At the time of Daniel, Zoroaster was a colleague or a contemporary of Daniel. And Zoroaster took some of the prophecies of Daniel, and he took them back in his religion, and they wrote down in the Persian Empire. And now, when you go back and research, the Persian Empire had a bicameral house. The lower house were called the Sapoi, but the higher house was called the Magoi. The higher house were also called the wise men or the great ones. And these were people at this time who also had the prophecies from Zoroaster that a king was to be born around this time, and they knew the sign, what it was to be. And at this time in history, when these planets were arranging themselves in the sky, they took it to be a sign, and they were on their way to visit the king. Now, Christ was not a baby when they came. Christ was a young child. But these wise men came. This is not to be attributed to the same definition that most Americans give to the wise men. Most Americans give to the wise men what we do. We call them the magi. Well, the arts of magi were called magic. So magic refers to the arts of the magi. But the magi were not wizards and warlocks, as in, you use the terminology magus, where we get, you know, magistrate, magnate, you know, magnificent, Simon Magus, who was a sorcerer in the book of Acts. But it referred to these wise men who came from this, they came from the east to come visit this king, because it was written in their text by way of Zoroaster, who was a contemporary of Daniel, which is how he got the information that these, that this king was to be, this king of the Jews was to be born. And that's how they knew that. So we need to be succinct. We need to know our information. And as prophets, we have to debunk these theories. We have to know what we're talking about. And we have to use everything at our disposal. And the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. Hello, people, that is not talking about the cloud in the sky. It is talking about the planet, the sun, the solar system, the universe, the stars that are in the sky that God placed there in a pictorial story to tell the prophecy and the birth of the Savior of mankind that has been there since the dawn of antiquity. We have to be more than the average preacher, more than the average evangelist. We're deeper than that. We don't go around trying to prophesy to everybody. We only prophesy when God tells us to open our mouth. And I would ask you, would you prophesy so quickly if every time you prophesied, God would hold you accountable by holding you accountable with your life based off of the fact that did he really tell you to prophesy that? Every time you prophesy something, if the Lord would require your life at the fact on whether he really told you to say that, would you still say it? Would you say it? And having said that, I'm going to close with a quote from a text that I'm going to read here. There's an old axiom, an old saying that says when the student, I'm going to quote this saying to you because we've taken it and said it. We've heard some things said in so many different ways, but I'm going to give you the original saying. This is an original saying, and I quote, "Wherefore the footsteps of the master," and the master was a terminology that was given to someone who was a spiritual adept, who was a sage, who was a master prophet, who was a teacher, someone whose life exhibited and they lived what they said they believed, which had the ability to draw disciples to them because the disciples could literally see what it was that they were supposed to believe. So they voluntarily sat under and received the engrafted word or the doctrine which the teacher taught because the teacher was living it. Now, the quote says, "Wherefore the footsteps of the master, the ears of those ready for his teaching open wide." I'll say that again. "Fall the footsteps of the master, the ears of those ready for his teaching open wide." I'm going to say another quote. It says, "When the ears of the student are ready to hear, then cometh the lips to fill them with wisdom." Again, "When the ears of the student are ready to hear, then cometh the lips to fill them with wisdom." And we've heard this said today by many people. When the student is ready, the teacher will come. So, and that's another action of the law of the universe. That's the law of correspondence. When the teacher is ready, when the student is ready, the teacher has come. There are some things that will only come to you when, as the student, you are ready to receive them. You are ready. You've mastered the levels that you are on. Then you can release your faith and have the confidence to know that you're ready. When you know you're ready for the next level, it comes. Not when you believe you're ready. When you know you're ready, it comes, because that's a whole nother level of faith. I'm going to give you guys one more quote, and then I'm going to close this. I'm going to read this. Now, you need to know, well, actually, I'm going to just tell you, and then we're going to close. You need to know that the great work of influencing one's environment is accomplished by mental power. The universe being wholly mental, it follows that it may be ruled only by mentality. So if the world is mental, then the only way it can be ruled, or you can get power, or you can operate in the world, in the mental world, is through mentality. And in this truth is to be found an explanation of all the phenomena and manifestations of various mental powers which are attracting so much attention and study. Psychology, pseudopsychology, parapsychology, psychoanalytics. Now you got psychotherapy. And for the longest time, people said, oh, ghosts didn't exist. Now they're using all type of electromagnetic instruments to try to be able to detect spirit. There was an experiment done in the 20th century or the late 19th century by a gentleman who measured the weight of people who were dying. And he measured the weight of people who were dying. And he found out that it was exactly about 20 grams. I believe he said it was 20 grams less. When they died, they quote me on that. But when they died, there was a finite amount that was consistent with every person that died that was missing from their weight when they were measured or weighed before they died. If the universe is mental in its substantial nature, then it follows that mental transmutation must change the conditions and phenomena of the universe. If the universe is mental at the root, that means that I can change the universe through my thinking. That means that everything that governs the universe is governed through thought. And if the universe is mental, then mind must be the highest power affecting phenomena. If the universe is mental and everything we know is thought in the mind of God, in God we move and have our being. Why? Because we are a thought in the mind of God. So we are located in the mind of God. This is another reason why we can have divine rest, because no matter what we do, we are still in the mind of God. But if mind is the highest power affecting the phenomena, then it is to be understood that all the miracles and wonder workings are seen for what they are. They are the access or the implementation of the power of the mind. The mind backed by the authority of God, backed by the thoughts of God. It's God thoughts and God thinking that changes the mental phenomena in this universe and in this world how that we know it. Change how a man thinks. You change what a man does. Therefore, you change a man's life. I want to thank you for tuning in to the show tonight. I hope you have gotten some information. I didn't put out as much information as I would have liked, you know, to have put out. But I hope you got some information from the show. I hope it blessed you. A message and everything what you want to hear. There will be some more sessions of the School of the Prophets, and there will be some videos coming. Go to www.pcjgministries.com. Again, Louisville will be coming to the University of Louisville. Be blessed and enjoy your night. This has been Strategically Prophetic with Prophet Calvin D. Ward.